Gun track stunt color. Yeah, you know that's us. Where we only speak the real and the real rock with us. Where we motivate the people and politic on success. Oh no, we ain't DJ Khaled, but they swearin' we the best. Gun track, uncle. Gun track, uncle. Gun track, uncle.
What's happening? It's Contrast Uncut. It's season 4, episode 45. I want to give a big shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I appreciate you, brothers. It's your host, Zylo, aka DJ Juan Dollars Like I Won Some Money. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have an incredibly dope special guest. This brother is from Jersey, you know, Paterson, New Jersey. He's a world-renowned DJ, tastemaker, and party starter. Starting from the house parties to rocking the clubs to the strip clubs to being the tour DJ for Rhea certified diamond artist, Fetty Wap. And you know, this brother's traveled the world in that experience. He's a mix show DJ for Hot 97, and you've seen his brother before on Shade 4-5 Sway in the Morning, or you've heard him, you understand me, because I've been able to hear this brother rock a couple years ago. And just catching this brother brilliance because he knows what he's doing up there. He a real tastemaker. He understands where the blends, where the pockets, where to assert his voice for energy, how to read the crowd. And, you know, you've also seen his brother on the Wheels of Steels for the Remy Boys or for the Zoo Gang. Or if you in Paterson, New Jersey or New York, you can pull up and get the whole experience. And if you ain't know who I got on the show by now, it's all good. We got all episode to chop it up with the crowd controller. 1738's very own DJ S Dot, everybody. How you doing, bro?
What up, man? I'm good, man. You know, pandemic got us messed up over here on the East Coast, man. But, you know, I'm good, man. Holding it down as much as possible. Whatever doors they open in, we're going to break them down, you know.
Right. That's right. Bro, I gotta tell you from the jump, time's the most finite thing we have on this earth. I appreciate your time for fucking with me, fucking with the viewers and the listeners. Thank you.
Hey man, I appreciate you for knowing something about me, man. I appreciate you for, you know, been keeping in tune all these years, man. You know, sometimes you put that work in, you don't ever know who really watching, man. But you always gotta go. I was always told, man, go 150. Because you never know, like, for real.
Come on, bro. People don't realize that, you know, the eyes is always watching, and that's how you get to the business. Speaking of time, that's not normal 24 hours.
Right now, my normal 24, man, you know, we on cut, right? Right now, man, I got to do what I got to do, man, to make it survive, man. Right now, you know, I'm working at these 420 sesh events, you know, right now weed is being legalized all over New Jersey. And, you know, I was luckily fortunate enough to get a few bookings throughout the week. I'm DJing at these weed events right now, learning about different strains and how strains can help you. And, you know, sometimes, you know, strains put me to sleep. Some strains keep me up, keep me going. So that's what I'm doing most of the time during the week between 4 to 10. You know, I'm in the city rocking out these session events, pop-up shops and stuff like that until these strip clubs and regular clubs open back up. But, you know, during the day, I'm listening around, checking around, seeing if I catch any new sounds, anything like that, you know, see what's bubbling. It's kind of hard, though, man, because, you know, you got to filter it some type of way, and people don't understand that. So it's like you got your DM request full, you got your regular DM full. So I dedicate, like, 2 hours in the morning time to that, see what's going on out there, see what's new from the people in the industry. You know, I like to keep in tune, like to keep my crowd. You know, I'm the crowd controller, man. I got to be able to control the crowd. I got to get the old stuff, got to have the new stuff, got to get the underground stuff, got to get the West Coast. I listen to music. I take two to four hours in the morning before I go about my day, you know, just to dedicate that time each day, make sure I stay in tune with new music, old music, current music. Music that ain't nobody probably been on top of, try to, you know, I like the DJ and somebody be like, oh, what's that? That's top. Let me go download that. You know, stuff like that, man.
Hell yeah. Nah, people don't realize how much work it goes into being a DJ and listening to music and knowing what BPM is a transition, knowing what sounds is really going to connect with people. Because you could lose a crowd immediately. And, bro,
what song?
Page. No, I was just saying, bro, we in a new age, bro. TikTok control everything, bro.
TikTok is the key right now. It went from being SoundCloud. SoundCloud took over the game. And then, you know, the Snapchat start helping it out a little bit. But then TikTok just took it by storm, man. Like, if you want to hit right now, you got to get that TikTok wave. Like, it's just the way it goes now, man. You know, you just got to move with the ages. A lot of people like to complain. Like, even when I became a DJ, you know, I came in the game at a very young age. I guess you can call it what you call somebody who's born into the game. Mm. I grew up with my uncles in the basement and stuff like that. We could get into all that later on. But, like, people don't understand. It's like, you hear some DJs complain, oh, man, they got these CDJs. They got this, they that. He wasn't there when the turntable was out, this and that. I wasn't old enough to be there. So, how you getting mad at me? That's the same thing with people now. Like, oh, everything is getting busted because of TikTok, because of SoundCloud. Well, you can't get mad at them because that's what they use now. Like, TikTok and SoundCloud is their platform now. You can't get mad at the generation now because what they're blessed to have. You know, we, back then, you know, our people that's older than me, we had different outlets to get music and be entertained with music. That was our ways. And then they created new ways.
You talking LimeWire? You talking that Napster? You talking that crashing computer?
Yep.
People, they don't understand that struggle.
Point all, you trying to get the right 12, 13 songs for your CD?
On me.
You talking about trying to get the...
For real, bro.
I
got a quote, bro. Let me know how this quote relates to you, or if it doesn't, the ideas I want you to talk about it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Some people want it to happen. Some people wish it would happen. Others make it happen. Michael Jordan.
Are you asking me? Like Michael Jordan, you gotta repeat it because it broke up a little bit.
Oh, all good.
No, right now, see, we gotta deal with Zoom.
Technology, bro, it be on some bullshit sometimes. I got a quote. Let me know how the quote relates to you.
All right, I'm listening.
Some people want it to happen. Some people wish it would happen. Other people make it happen. Michael Jordan.
Bro, that quote relates to me so well, bro. Like, and it's crazy that's your quote, and it's crazy that you chose me to be one of your guests, because that quote goes hand in hand with me, bro. Because it's like, when I used to play basketball, you understand what I'm saying? So a lot of people who know me from playing ball back in the day and stuff like that. I went to college for ball, you understand what I'm saying? I was ranked as an eighth grader for basketball, you know, stuff like that around my way. You know, all-star teams, AAU teams, stuff like that, you know. And when I made the decision to become a DJ, it wasn't just, a spirit of moment thing. Like I told you, my uncles are in the game. So they had me following the basketball route the whole time. So when I went to my friends and classmates and stuff like that at the time, because I was in college when I made the transition, and I told people, you know, I'm going to be a DJ. Bro, I had some people tell me, like, oh, you ain't going to make it, like, you know, it's uncut. I had my first daughter, my daughter, her grandfather even told me, you know, I went down there to see my daughter be born. She's in Atlanta, Georgia. He even told me, man, DJ ain't going to take you nowhere, man. Like, this and that. Like, you know, what you going to do with it? Like, you know, it's what's going to happen. You feel me? My first party, I DJ my first party on the college campus. Not even on the college campus. Part of me. Because it's part of the Trials and Tribulations. I DJ at a club around the corner. And this is with the Serato. So I go to hop on and my shit not working. And people are like, oh man, you ain't about to be no DJ, man. You don't even know how to get your music on. You don't even know how to do this. You don't know how to do that. I even had my own school like decline me from doing a school party when everybody, all the kids in school was asking me to do a party after I got a little bit better. You know? And I just kept punching. I just kept pushing, man. I just kept saying stuff. I'm gonna do it. I remember telling my girlfriend before, like the girl I was dealing with at the time, before we took off a tour, like before when Trap Queen was first put in my hands, and somebody was like, I was dealing with this girl, and I'm like, yo, what you gonna do when I'm not home for 2-3 months at a time? She's mm-hmm. like, what you mean? I'm like, I'm about to start touring the world and stuff like that. And she's like, I don't know. Boy, you ain't going nowhere. Relax. So, that's just, I heard it so many times. It just gave me the energy and the urge to just keep punching, keep punching, keep punching, keep punching. You know, and like some people know, Freddie got 2 DJs. I was the one to open it up. That's why I got the name Crowd Controller. Cause it was out. It was sometimes WAP was running late, or WAP wasn't ready to go on yet, or the times was all messed up, you know. And it was like, go out and get them right. And then the name Crowd Controller came about. Go control them. Go calm down. Go calm down. Some shows, it's got WAP hours away. They like, yo, at this time we need you to go out there and just control them. Just keep calm down. He coming. But it, you know, I give big thanks for that whole positioning and that whole situation, bro. I gotta give first thanks to Nip the Grit. You know, I have to give thanks to Nip the Grit. He the one contacted me, asked me to push the song. I have to give thanks, big, big thanks to Fetty, because he the one kept me on the boat, kept me rocking, kept me riding with them. You understand what I'm saying? And I gotta give a big, 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 big shout out and a big thanks to Shauna Morgan. Bro, if she didn't come to me on that plane, and a big thanks to Chris Brown also, because if Shauna Morgan didn't come to me on that plane and ask me that first time in Kansas City when we was landing, first time on tour, all of our first, Fitz, Sue, Shauna, Big L, me, none of us ever been on tour, and they contacted, Chris Brown contacted Shauna like, yo, we need your DJ because y'all the first act. We need your DJ to open up. And Big L had declined the offer because that wasn't his position. You know, he was focused on making sure WAP had a good tour. Respectfully. So, you know, Shauna came to me. She's like, did you bring your computer to tour? I'm like, hell yeah, I brought my computer to tour. I'm prepared all the time. You know, I'm a DJ at the end of the day. I'm here for that reason. And it just, from that day, like, she was like, oh, well, Chris Brown wants you to do 10 minutes. Bro, 10 minutes turned into his manager running outside saying, yo, go for 30 minutes. Keep him on there for 30. I don't know who that guy is, but keep him up there. Let him do that for the rest of the tour.
You know, it's crazy because I've personally seen Fetty Wap a few times in concert. And, you know, he is notoriously late. I you know, he get caught up. You know, he could have his girl with him. And, you know, we could be waiting. And you know what? It's your job to keep us controlled. And bro, you be rocking it, like, period.
And so, Thank you, bro.
Comedy. Because, like, you know, behind the scenes, we all know what's going on, but we don't know what's going on. You understand me? And that's none of our business. But at the same time, be like, man, who's keeping us hooked? And it's like, okay, I got this brother on the show. Speaking about the DJ game, the music industry, did the game choose you or do you feel like you chose the game?
That's a question I was never asked, and I never really thought about it. That's a very good question, because it's like, I was growing up with my uncle making beats and making songs in the basement to him packing up and moving down to Virginia Beach with Teddy Riley and not seeing him, but I could get whatever clothes, sneakers, and cars I wanted. Like, so, you know, it's like I grew up them pulling up. Blackstreet dropped their album. My god uncle, Eric Williams, he pulled up with the purple Benz and stuff like that. I'm getting all the Jordans from him because me and him, we're the same size. So it's like I'm just like playing ball, but at the same time, at the basketball, I'm living their life. Like, in the summertime, I'm going down to Virginia with them, living an artist life, and then coming back home during the school and living a regular high school, eighth grade basketball life. Like, so it was like, you know, I guess you could say the game chose me by the materialistic things, but I fell in love with the way music moves people. I fell in love, like I was chosen by the game, but I'm gonna be honest. I think the materialistic things of the game chose me, well, got me. But at the same time, the way I see music can affect people and the way, and the power that a DJ had was what is what always made me want to be a DJ. Like, it always made me want to be a DJ. Like, from DJs like Fletch, Envy, Enough, Clue, Mr. C, Big Ben, damn, in LA, what's the one, the girl, damn.
Charisma.
She's one of the first, Charisma. Oh my God, that's my favorite. I don't know how I forgot her. But you know, I'm an East Coast guy. I'm sorry, I'm an East Coast guy. But Charisma, like, I think one of my first trips as in my life, like, besides just the Virginia Beach trips with my uncle, like, the first trip I took, like, on my own was a basketball trip. But we went to a party, and Charisma was doing it. I was playing ball, and we went to a party in L.A., and Charisma was DJing. And I was like, see, look, guys, I want to be a DJ. Like, it don't matter. East Coast or West Coast, whatever song you play, you just got control of all these people. Like, you can stop a song and just talk to people and then drop another song and just make people just go crazy. And it was like that, just that urge right there just got me. And it was like, it's crazy the way everything happened, because that's what's really caught me. And then that first time of ever having the opportunity to control, to rock over thousands and thousands of people, I was just so nervous, bro. And then after that first 5 minutes, it was like, yeah, this is what I'm meant to be here for. Like, I'm saying it to myself inside, but I'm still like surprised, like, yo, but I'm really doing it. But it's like, yo, this is what you dreamed about. This is what you prayed for. Like, and it's crazy. Dreams and prayers do come true, bro. Like, you know, everything has its trials and tribulations, but, you know, it do come true.
Oh, yeah. Manifestation is a powerful tool. For real. Manifestation is a very powerful tool.
Yeah.
Bruh, I want to know, bro, what was your confirmation that basically DJing is what you're supposed to do, that moment you feel is that? Because, you know, a lot of people, a lot of rappers, they start off as DJs. They start off, if they go back in the 80s, they start off as B-boys, but they all became DJs, and then they recognize that, oh, I want to be a rapper. And you recognize in an early age that I want to be the crowd controller. And you recognize that, hey, the spotlight's on me from the jump. And it's like, when was that confirmation that that's exactly, was that, what stage was that you were on where you were rocking and it was thousands of people and you was like, man, that 5 minutes of nervousness word off and I'm still here.
I don't know if it was Kansas City, my first time ever, or Alabama. Alabama was one of the top notches. I had another place, I can't remember the place, but it was another place where it was so many things going on in the world. Trump had just disrespected certain countries, and the country and the people in the crowd had their flags up and stuff like that. But I think Alabama was one of the top ones that it just like, yeah, this is what you're here for. Alabama, we were going into Alabama, we're on the bus, on the, you know, the little ride. It was a festival. So we're on the little trolley, taking us backstage, and on the trolley on the side you can just see all these people, shoes off, muddy, clothes basically off, like they just done up, you understand what I'm saying? And we just looking at each other, me, Wap, Monty, Big L, you know, a few of the other guys we had on there, Nick the Grit, Danny, so we just all looking at each other like Shauna's laughing about it. We all just laughing like, yo, what are we gonna like, what we going to do? Like we never really had that type of crowd. I think it was over 150,000 people.
Wow.
And that demographic of crowd, like, we never really had it. So it's like, yo, like, they know every song on the album. You know, you got a 25-minute set today. You sure you know what to do? You sure you got it? Like, and I'm like, bro, I don't know if I got it. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just going to go out there and we're just going to see what happens. You know, like, it was a big joke about it. And bro, like that first 10 minutes, like somebody, I forgot exactly who it was. I think it was Big Rome. my, pardon me, Rome, Fuzzy Fazoo. That's another guy who's been rocking with us for a long time. Let's not forget him, man. That's my hype man. He was on stage with me most of the time after that first year. Like he was keeping me alive. Some of them shows, you know, it's like the league, man. Like you wake up some days you like, you don't want to do it, but you know. So Fuzzy, I'm rocking, and I think Fuzzy just comes hit me in the shoulder like, "Hey boy, what the hell? Why are you killing him?" And I'm just like, "Oh shit, I am." And I walk backstage, and then Fetty's just posting on his gram, and I'm like, "What is he posting?" And he's like, not saying nothing to me. Everybody's just smiling, like, "Yo, the fuck, yo, it's time for us to go up there." Like, and then I just walking to the stage, my phone just starts going crazy, and it's like him just posting a video of me rocking the crowd, and he's like, "Yo, it's crazy when you tell your brother that you're gonna have him in front of hundreds of thousands and do his thing. You're gonna bring him on tour." And everything you're saying that you want to do for him, you really doing is a good feeling. And happy that I made my brother feel good because he put me in that opportunity to make him feel good. If you get what I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying, you feel me? And it was like, it was just that day, bro. Like, it was just like, yeah, like, I got confirmation from one of the best artists in the world at the time, still right now. You know what I'm saying? Numbers don't lie.
Come on.
I got my whole team with me. I got 150,000 people in front of me who was going crazy. It was like at that moment right there, I'm like, yeah, this is for me.
No, bruh, you know, back to basketball terms, you know, a lot of what the DJ does is set up the crowd for the artist is alley-oop. You throwing an alley-oop, you throwing a lob, and then the artist is grabbing it and yamming it. You feel me? They dunking something vicious to the crowd, and you do that. And so it's like, what are your three go-to songs that you know that you're going to break the ice with that you know I can't be denied wherever I'm at?
Oh, you mean like what side of the world are we talking about? Because I'm a homework type of person. I'm going to hit you. See, I had go-to songs at the time, but what I learned throughout the time, because we went different years of doing this, different areas of doing this. You understand? I learned how to do my homework, how to study. I learned to pay attention to things that the record label was paying attention to. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like Shazam and stuff like that. See what's being looked up, what they're listening to. I'm listening to their radio, their local radio stations when I get into town. I need your top three radio stations. Whoever the driver is, whoever's on the flight with us, I need the top three radio stations. Let me know. I'm shooting behind the top three radio stations. What song's hot? So I'm getting a gist of what type of vibe they like. So now I go with three key songs, and most of the time it's a Khaled. All I do was one of my favorites. But after I hit you, All I Do Is Win, whatever is really hot at that time. Like right now, what's the number one thing on TikTok? So I probably would have All I Do Is Win and then cut it right into whatever's TikTok at the time. You understand what I'm saying? That's where I guess the crowd control of thing completely really came from, because I'm
yeah, bro. You know, you go two, three songs while you know, the reason why I ask this question whenever I interview DJs, like if they from the East Coast or they from New Jersey, they try to, you know, put some heavyweight appearance on where they from into their songs. People from the West Coast like to do the same thing. And then you have a whole different approach, and that's what makes you unique. That's what makes you stand out.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother. Yeah, as we were saying, basically, like, you know, I don't really have three certain songs. I don't really try to let people know I'm from Paterson, New Jersey, or from the East Coast. I want to touch in where y'all from. I want to let you know that, yeah, I'm studying what y'all listen to. I want to party with y'all. You understand what I'm saying? Put me in the clubs with y'all. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to let you know, like, whoever's around, like, oh, maybe he can have him do a party for us. He knows what we like to hear. You understand what I'm saying? As opposed to, oh, well, he's going to play what they listen to and where they're from, and we're going to have to learn. No, I'm going to show you that I can party with you guys.
Hey, that's real. See, a lot of people don't know the biggest reason why artists and DJs get booked is because people want to party with them. If people do not want to party with you, they don't want to turn up, they don't want to spend no money, then they don't want you on that stage. They want somebody that's going to drive people to come into the place and spend some money, whether it's for tickets, whether it's for the bar, whether it's just, you know, for a weed event or, you know, the strip club or whatever, what have you, because the tastemakers set up the whole arrangement.
My bad, bro, just
a deposit slip. I'm sorry.
My bad, brother.
It's all good shit.
But now you go ahead. I'm back on deck. They don't talk after that.
It's all good.
gotta put the money in the account before this freaking 1 o'clock. Shit. All right, we go.
For real. I even
we back.
Everybody thinks some magical shit be happening and be like, no, we regular people. We pay bills just like y'all.
Shit, who are you telling? That's why I thought we disconnected, because I had somebody keep calling me. One of my kids' mothers kept calling me. I'm like, oh shit, I said one, right? But yeah, we back though. Let's get it.
All right, for sure. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I forgot. Oh, I was talking about, you know what? Speaking of marijuana will cost you to forget your short-term memory. And when you reach and grab things in the air that was there, just like the smoke is gone. And what I was talking about, and unlike, you know, when we DJ, I can't run that back on what I was saying. But what I am going to do is transition out. And talk about, you know, I feel it's always someone that invests or puts an idea or puts someone in a position to reach their dreams. You know, you had a situation where you got injured playing ball and you had to redirect your dreams. And, you know, you were invested into. And I mean, throughout your whole life with your uncle and being in the basement and being around all that resilient energy. That transparent greatness that you've been able to witness, from seeing Jaheim to Jagged Edge to so many other countless R&B artists that have come in there. You know, who do we owe to thank you for investing into your dreams?
My mother. Before my mother passed, my mother was the first person to buy me my first piece of equipment. When I first started, I started because of heart. I wanted to do it. Luckily, my school had a major for radio and TV broadcasting. Okay, so I was still playing ball, but still doing radio and TV broadcasting classes. So, you know, I was already entering myself into the field because I knew I wanted to be in that type of field. Like I said, people like Fletch, you know, radio DJs is what influenced me to be a DJ. Now, my uncles and stuff like that, yes, they were into the music and stuff like that, but, you know, they had their things going on. They had the contracts going on, you know, all types of stuff like that going on. And while my mother was still here, you know, she was fighting with lupus. So she was back and forth herself. And I came home from school that one spring break, and I'm like, yo, I want to be a DJ. And I was chilling with a DJ on campus, and somebody came to us like, yo, we want to have a party. Like, we want to start throwing parties at our club. We was in the lunchroom on one of our breaks. And he was like, he's like, yo, I can't do it. Just, I don't know what they like, you know, making little excuses. And I'm like, bro, I could do it. Just give me your laptop. I'll show you what they want to listen to. I'll let you, like, let's get it. Let's go get this money. So we go do that party. So the next party, I'm like, yo, look, just plug your computer up. And the next party, I'll rock for the first hour. Just show me exactly what to do. Hello?
Yeah, we good.
He was like, I'll show you what to do. I'm like, show me what to do. He's like, I don't know. Like, he was real iffy about it. So I'm like, yo, like, so then I go back home. I'm like, Mom, I want to be a DJ. She's like, well, what you need to do? I'm like, first, I need a laptop. So she convinced my grandmother to let me get her Gateway. Her Gateway PC, at the time, the screen turned and swiveled and all that. So they saw me like, hey, look what it can do. It's better than the Apple. This and that. Da, 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 da. Like, look what it can do. So she sold me into getting that. But along with getting that, she surfed the internet so hard that she found the website that will let you pay for the Serato box monthly. But you got it within the first month.
Wow.
because we wasn't fortunate enough. You know, even though my uncles was doing their thing and stuff, my mom wasn't really fortunate. You know, mother and brother, you know, I mean, sister and brother, you know how it goes. Their relationship, you know, is uncut. Their relationship wasn't the best, you know. So it's like I had an uncle. My uncle's there for me. My mother's there for me, but they just didn't like each other. They grew up together their whole damn life. So, you know, I told my mother that, and then she went out and found and got that Serato bus delivered to me, got me that Gateway. And then just the hustler in me, like, ever since I hit 15 and I used to always be spoiled and stuff like that, and I'm thinking my 16th birthday, my mom's is going to come with all these fly clothes and shit and stuff like that. You know, she came with a job application. Like, you gonna know how to get it. That was her number one thing. You gonna know how to get it. So when she did that for me, it was like, look, I know I don't be giving you much, but this is something you want to do. Here you go. Here go your Serato box. That's how you don't need nothing else, they said. Because fortunate enough, one of my other uncles from their father's side was also a DJ in the town. And he was knowing what was going on, what was the transition. So we got the Serato box. Then she was real good friends at the local, we call the store Broadway Electronics, but they have everything in there, DJ equipment, car equipment, shit, you know, like one of them type of stores. But my mom's was cool with the guy who owned it because they went to high school together. So she went in there and got me some, you know, some trash speakers, but it was some speakers, you know. So she just invested whatever she could and whoever she knew, she made it happen for me to get started. But that also showed me, like, in this game, it's not going to just come to you all at once. You're not just going to have the best all at once. You're going to have to hustle. You're going to have to grind. You're going to have to do what you got to do to get it and transfer over and make things happen. You get me? Like, 100%. Just my mom, she invested that hustle in me. And she also put her own investment into me, with getting me the first piece of equipment that I needed to get started. You know, I just owe, even beyond just life, I just owe everything to her, man.
Salute, bro. Salute. You know, I feel like that whole relationship with your mother taught you so much. It put value on relationships. It also put you understanding where you need to put a value on a relationship with your uncle and the rest of your family members. Because, you know, if you don't know where you're from, you don't know where you're going. And if you don't know how to interact with where you at, then you ain't gonna know how to interact wherever you plan to be at. And, you know, relationships get you places money cannot. You know, what can you speak on, you know, your relationships and, you know, starting off with your uncle? I mean, you said you went to Virginia Beach. He was with Teddy Riley. I can imagine what that was like being 16, and people don't understand to not be starstruck, to be yourself, to pretty much play your key, play your position, be natural in what you're interested in. And all these different shiny things of opportunity will hit you. Because the only thing on the ground is you know, is some hope that you're going to find some. So keep your eyes up.
Bro, as you know, just doing this interview, I want to say thank you so much to you, bro. Because honestly, bro, like, just this interview alone opened me up to, like, damn, I really did this much. Like, we didn't even speak on the 106 and Park thing. We ain't speak on, like, a lot of things that happened before Fetty. Like, the thing about your interview, it wasn't all about Fetty. You understand what I'm trying to say? Like your interviews, I just want to say thank you, bro, before, you know, I don't know if we closing out or anything, but you opening me up to some things, like, damn, wait. And I'm not capping, ain't no cap about anything. You know, if the listeners, the viewers, anybody want any type of proof is all in, you know, we can proof all day, but, you know, it just opened me up to, like, damn, I really been through some shit to talk about.
Hey, bro, I got to tell you from the jump, all the viewers know, if you ain't real, you ain't official, you ain't coming on this show. Your energy is going to match my energy, and it's going to make it where we can't make it happen. People recognize that shit, like, because I'm going to call it fair. I'm going to keep the focus where the focus needs to be on and where the attention, because, you know, we can't shine light in the dark. We got to shine light what's in front of us. And there we can hear some stuff in the dark or some stuff that will get you further. I ain't on no Vlad TV, no academics. I ain't on none of that shit. I'm on progress and showing people what it takes to get an engine to go somewhere.
Facts.
But yeah, back to my question about relationships and you know what it taught you being around that environment.
This what I learned about this thing, we call it the industry, we call it the eye, we call it whatever you want to call it, however you call this entertainment world, you know, relationships is a big thing. It's a very big thing. As long, you know, as much people in the world say, oh man, fuck them, this and that, da da da, like they can't this and that, they ain't nobody, you shouldn't even be worried about them. This relationships in this game means a lot because, so let's just microscope one example. A person can have a hot song, right? The hottest song in the world. But I got the platform. And I'm not saying I would do this, but some people do this. You know, I have the platform. I know somebody with the hottest song in the world. But because we got an issue from the past, that song is not going to go nowhere. If you catch my drift about what I mean by relationships in this game, like relationships, like for instance, you know, let's go back to this interview. If the first time we met or the first time you see me and I was just a straight up asshole or a straight up dick, we wouldn't be doing this interview. You get what I mean? Like, you feel what I'm saying? So it's like, it's your persona, your energy, the person you are, like the relationships you create, you never know where they can go. But you never know if you being an asshole, being a dick because people tell you you should be this way because of the position you're in, or, you know, telling you, oh, fuck relationships, you don't need nobody, this and that, in this game. And then it's like, you get down to that point where it's like, damn, yo, if I was still cool with such and such, my shit would be playing over here. Or if I was still cool with such and such, they'd be rocking my shit everywhere.
Thanks. And, you know, there is something I do want to shine light on is that there are those $5 friends that'll borrow $5 and don't return them $5. And, you know, they made their way out of your life. And it's okay to let certain people go when you got the ulterior motives of, you know, what's not genuine. You're going to know what's real when it comes to genuineness from the jump. It ain't going to be something that's hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Brett, I want to know, what has been your most rewarding moment so far in the game?
I know it don't mean a lot to a lot of people. It never really meant much to me. Like, just the public acknowledgement of the effect that I had in our circle. You know, I'm getting a lot of knock about people saying, oh, I was the first one to play it, this and that, da, da, da. But I remember the first conversation, clear as day, I still have it in my inbox. You know, it was coming to me, telling me nobody wanted to play it and stuff like that. And I just took it and did what I had to do with it in the clubs, you know. And I know I get a lot of great people, oh, I was the first one to play it. Oh, I was the one who did this. I was the one who did that. You know, I know Hot 97 has always been one of my dreams. So it's tied in between that and that. It's just the notification of the fact of it's being noticed by people who didn't know. Even though I know it doesn't mean much, but it's just like, I just always been this whole time, I've always been that guy like, well, what do he do? Like, if L the main DJ, and then, you know, people who don't come to the tours, people who don't come on shows, I got to put up posts to show them what I was doing on tour, show them what I was doing here, this and that. You know, just that acknowledgement. I know I don't pay the bills or anything like that, but, you know, just that acknowledgement as a DJ is like, damn, all that work I put in is finally some type of acknowledgement for it. You understand what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. The Hot 97 mix show DJ thing, that's some type of acknowledgement because the area I'm in now, I could have did it once, two, three, 1,000 times. I did it one time, more than one time. You understand what I'm saying? So to people in my area, that's a big thing. So the acknowledgement from them every time is like, damn, I'm being respected for this now because I came in not being respected. That's the trophy for me. Like the respect that I'm starting to get now for my position and the part I played in certain things, as opposed to when I first came in and people tell me I wasn't going to be nothing. I wasn't going to make it as a DJ. I suck. I'm ass. Or why they booking him, you know, that's my trophy right there.
You know, bro, we come from the streets, bro. And the streets, you know, it ain't too many men that's going to acknowledge another man for giving their flowers for what they're doing right. They're going to spend a little bit more time on what you're doing wrong so you can fix that shit. And it could be tough love. It could be whatever you want it to be. But the reality is we don't have enough people saying, hey, brother, you are doing an amazing job, bro. You're a dedicated father. You're creating ways to basically make yourself available at times. You're being able to talk to your children, make ways with your family. And at the same time, you're still living a dream. And that is not an easy thing to do. And a lot of people just get caught up in the fact that they're doing one thing and let the rest of the shit slip. And I do want to make sure I give you your flowers for being a dedicated father, bruh, because that part's not easy. And then being dedicated to what you do, bruh, like, you feel me? Everyone has a legacy, and it's like, how am I going to be remembered? And, you know, being the crowd controller is definitely the coldest way to be remembered, because they, you know, we the first one to think of, like, man, I need someone to rock. I know someone, it don't matter where he at, he going to know what's in the sauce.
Appreciate that.
So, bro, what's a few things people got fucked up about New Jersey and New York?
We're not New York. We is not New York, man. We is not New York. We got a lot of New York people in New Jersey. You know, that's the place people in New York, when they make it, they come move to Jersey, certain parts of Jersey. You know, I'm not glorifying, you know, being from the hood, but you are where you come from. You know what I'm saying? You could be from there, but you don't have to stay there. You understand what I'm saying? Every hood, every state got its own hood. You know, everybody's different from their own way. And I just love where I'm from, but, you know, my goal was never to stay where I came from.
Yeah, bro, that's so deep. That's so deep. You know, from, like, let's see, Fat Boy to New Jersey Drive to, I mean, there's so many classic things that come from New Jersey, but it's all a personification. You know, one thing, I got family from the Bay Area, and it was just like, okay, they got dreads. You know, the only place in America where you could wear dreads and still be a cop is in New Jersey. And that was, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s. And then they made it a little bit more diverse for people to do it. But it's just like, you know, that is something that's always stood out. Like, there's always been an acceptance in New Jersey that wasn't accepted across everywhere.
Fact.
Bruh, I do want to spend a little second and talk about the 106 and Park moment you brought up. Because, you know, I feel like we got to shine a little light on that. That's such a nostalgic show that's been dismissed. And it's like, actually, bro, they don't even get a chance for music videos to have shows anymore. Like, that is such, bro. Like, you know, coming from, I do music videos, I A&R with producers. I do this show with Uncle Snoop's Army. Like, I do a lot. And then, it's, you know, it's crazy how they take away the opportunity to say, hey, I made it on the box. I made it nationwide through the box, through on TV. And it's just crazy. And then you have an experience where, you know, it's limited. That run, you know, was a short run. It was a nice years. Well, no, I think it was like 10, 12 years of a run.
Just to get one or two episodes off that show is a good thing, bro. Like, it's a real big thing.
So, bro, how did you make your way to 106 in Park?
You said, how did I get on there?
How'd you make your way?
Basically, I was a movie brother from these I don't know if you ever heard of DJ Frosty, DJ Little Man.
It sounds familiar, but lace me.
It's a Jersey DJ group, and we basically they were like the founders of Jersey Club. You know, they had Jersey Club going crazy and stuff like that. And I was a movie brother, and then they did a selection, like, which movie brother you guys think can, you know, hold it down on the show. And like I told you, my thing has always been radio and TV broadcasting. So it was like, it was a given from our circle. Like, yo, let Esdoc go do that. That's what he want to do. Now, I ain't going to lie, that first episode, I was nervous as shit. But, you know, that's about, you know, that's just, it's just been my lane, something that I wanted to follow.
Hell yeah. No, that's dope, bruh. And then when the light hit you, you was ready. You may have been nervous, but that's the thing about it. You got to breathe. Pressure bust pipes unless you let that pressure go through.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, bruh, I got two segments. I'm going to put a pause on the entertainment segment. I mean, on the entertainment part, my first segment is my awareness segment. And, you know, being in the streets and riding around, it's a hot topic. We was riding around in the car. You said, you know, 12 already, you know, knocked on a pretty much major move. And it's like, okay, you had a moment where you had to know how to react. And I like to ask every guest of mine, when was the last time they're pulled over? And what's advice they can give out there for people so that they can maneuver through the situation and get through it quickly and safe as possible?
Respect. Everyone's a human. You understand what I'm saying? I have friends who are on the force. I have friends who are in the streets. I have friends in the business. I have friends outside of the business. And one thing that is always in common for everybody from every part of the whole situation, if you was just to give the respect that you want to receive, you would get that back. Even if you're giving the good respect and the person is still giving you nastiness, it's gonna turn around. It's gonna turn around. We can't all be out here cats and dogs just fighting each other.
Come on. The idea is to get through it quickly and mm-hmm. as possible. Now, hey, I appreciate that because one, transparency is so key in this world. And two, knowledge is power. But when you use that knowledge, it becomes a superpower. And there ain't no greater superpower to use than dealing with the punk ass police.
I feel you, man.
Bro, my next segment is called Impulse Q&A. I got three questions I want you to answer. You don't like the question, it's all good. Say pass. I still want you to answer three questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is the funniest thing you've seen happen in a DJ booth? Question number one.
I'm single, so I could talk about it. Nah, man. You know, there's some things that go down in the DJ booth, man. Future girlfriend, don't get mad at me, but... You know, I see some things go down in the DJ booth. You know, I have my own types of fun in the DJ booth. I done had panties and bras thrown at me while I was on stage. You know, I'm looking at them like, you sure this for me? Like, I ain't fatty. I don't look like him, right? Like, but, you know, you done see some things go down in the DJ booth.
Question number two. What is one thing you love but you wish you hated?
Weed. Weed. Because I love weed so much, and I learned the difference of weed, and I learned the different strands and the different grades, top shelf, and then I fell in love with top shelf, so now I can't smoke the bottom. It's just, and then now it's like I can't smoke nothing but top shelf, so I gotta go buy the top shelf. So it's like, and then during the pandemic it makes me hate it now, because like, damn, I still gotta pay for this and I ain't making that much. Like,
Yeah, bro, one thing we not doing is we ain't taking no barter. Like, you feel me? Run me my paper. I can't pay no bills with weed. You understand me?
Facts.
Question number three. What is one food place you recommend people to try while they're in Paterson, New Jersey?
One food place in Paterson? Oh, man. It's three top places in Paterson, though. You got to tell you what you like. Because if you want to go get a good sandwich, you're going to go to Torpedo Base. If you want some good seafood, you're going to go over here to Booker's. You got a spot called Booker's Seafood. Now, if you want some good Jamaican food, you go to 10th Ave in Paterson, New Jersey. You go to any Jamaican spot on 10th Ave. After 10th and 25th, any Jamaican spot up there, you go. You know, go get all types of... Now, if you want to do it the whole way, you know, you want to go the cheap route, we got a very good Chinese spot that we go to, a gourmet Chinese type of spot called Goodies, man, if you want to eat healthy and, you know, get your little Chinese type of grub on. Got some nice good eats out here.
Man, you know, you gave us four spots.
Because okay. I'm a fat boy by heart, man. I've just been working out lately.
Come on, man. Shit, I just gotta add the working out part. I could say it, but it's a lie. It's fact. But I'm enjoying myself. That's the key thing. You know, I'm trying to eat right. I go to Jamba Juice in the morning to feel like I'm doing something. I'll get my apples and greens, and you know, that's progress, but I still need to work my ass out. You know, kids get you tired, this job gets you tired, and the first thing to cut out, the gym.
The hardest part about it is getting up for the gym, man. That's the hardest part.
Bruh, I was an all-area wrestler. I was, you know, starting football player. I was an undersized outside linebacker, defensive end, smacking shit. And yeah, bro, I felt more interested in being comfortable than I was trying to keep up with everything else. And don't be mad at me, but shit. And then I'm finding vegan food is fire.
Good to go.
Yeah, bro. I might walk the block after that, but that's it.
Just that's two laps.
That's not, bro. You have survived my awareness segment. You survived my impulse Q&A as a reward. The floor is yours. It's promote time. Let's run up what you want to run up. You know, drop the Instagram. You know, let's promote. Shout out who you want to shout out.
Yo, what up, man? It's your boy DJ S. Dot. Now I can say officially worldwide the crowd controller. Officially the DJ who broke Trap Queen, which is 10 times diamond right now. Officially 106 in Park. Hot 97 Mitch Show, 1738 Zoo Gang, Shade 45 Family. Man, we can keep going down the list. But if you want to get in tune with me, man, hit me on that Instagram, DJSDOT1738. That's DJS.1738 on that Instagram. I'm on that Facebook and that Twitter. Links on that Instagram page. But I'm mainly on that IG, man. Let's get it going, bro. Soon as this thing open up, all this stuff open up, bro, I'm coming down there. We going to turn some shit up on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, come fuck with me, bro. Come fuck with me, bro. Man, come turn up in LA one time for the one time. Shit, bro, I got to put you on this cat named Capolo. He from Oakland, and he signed a Cinematic Music Group. Bro, it's hella raw, but he gives me that essence of Fetty. But it's West Coast, and it's crazy. But I was like, man, that, you know, just a little side plug. Shout out Capolo. I fuck with bro. But, yeah, bro, if you notice, the show's different. It's unique. If you know, they got segments over there. I'm like, I don't do segments like them, but I got to. I'm like, how do I keep that same energy and close out? The viewers knows it's coming. I'm going to hit you with it. You got any questions for me?
Nah, man. I just wanted, you're a real person through their history, man. Like, for you to contact me, man, and want to interview me, man, is a blessing, man. I just want to say thank you once again. Xylo Contrast Uncut, man. I just want to say thank you, bro. Like I said, you opened me up to some shit. Like, oh, shit, I did that. I forgot I did that. Oh, yeah. I just want to say thank you, man. And then, you know, hopefully we can link, man. Hopefully we got a whole nother segment to go on because there's more stuff coming, you know, more blessings, more congratulations, more all types of stuff coming in the law, man. We ain't done yet. 1738 Zoo Gang, we not done yet, man.
Oh, no, bro. I'm going to stay tapped in, man. I got you. It's all love shit. If I'm on the East Coast and you hit the West Coast, we're going to touch down and run some
definitely
run some plays.
Let's get it.
On that note, it's Contrast Uncut. It's season 4, episode 45. I want to give a big shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I appreciate you, brothers. You know, I wouldn't be able to do incredibly dope shit like interview DJ S. Mr. 1738, Mr. Crowd Controller. This brother let the jewels just shoot out, you feel me? He had a drama character. So, you know, if you ain't get hit with a gym, it's on you that you ducked and dodged that opportunity. From there on, bro, tap in and support the run.
Shout out to the group also, man.
I love man, I know you guys can't smell this right now, and I ain't talking about none of that other stuff. I'm talking about some of that good stuff, that smell good stuff. I think it's breakfast. What time is it? It's breakfast time. Make sure you tune in to Contrast Uncut no matter what you're doing. Whether you're eating breakfast, you're smelling good food like I'm smelling, or if you're smelling other stuff, we're good to watch too. Make sure you tune in.